Welcome to Geek Speak, the podcast where we explore the fascinating intersections of technology and human experience. I'm your host, Bite Master BJ, and today we have a compelling episode lined up for you. We'll dive into how technology is both shaping and challenging our mental health in the 21st century. From the benefits of mental health apps, all the way to the darker side of social media, we're going to cover it all. Grab a cup of coffee or maybe even a glass of water and sit back. Did you know that according to recent studies, the average person spends over 7 hours a day on digital devices? That's nearly half of our waking hours. While technology connects us, it also poses significant challenges. For instance, excessive social media use has been linked to increased anxiety and depression, especially among teenagers and young adults. Moreover, a survey by the American Psychological Association found that nearly 45% of adults feel overwhelmed by the number of notifications they receive daily. This constant digital bombardment can also lead to what's known as techno-stress, which is impacting our ability to focus and maintain a healthy work-life balance. Our guest is a distinguished psychologist who has spent years exploring the intricate ways in which technology impacts our minds and behavior. With a robust background in both clinical psychology and consultation, they have a deep understanding of how digital environments shape our mental health, productivity, and social interactions. Whether it's the psychological effects of social media, the nuances of tech addiction, or the ways in which AI is influencing human decision-making, our guest has insightful perspectives to share. They are not only respected in academics, but also as a clinician. She's made complex psychological complex relevant to tech enthusiasts and professionals alike. Please join me in welcoming world-renowned psychologist Jakia Dorsey to the show. Jakia, thank you for joining us today. We're thrilled to have you here.
Oh, I am honored to be here. It's funny because as you were speaking, I was looking around for someone else to walk in or something. Like, as much as I love everything that you said, I don't know if I agree with about half of it. So, but no, thank you so much. I am honored to be here.
No thanks needed at all. It's basically what we think of you here. Think of you very highly here, which is why we wanted to get you on the show to get your thoughts and opinions on everybody's psychological well-being when it comes to technology. So who better to go to psychologist Jay Dorsey?
I love it.
So not to waste your time, let's go ahead and jump in. So the digital age really has revolutionized our lives in countless ways. But for you specifically, what does that mean for our mental health, you know, us as the people? On one hand, technology has made mental health resources more accessible more than ever. You know, we have apps like meditation for online therapy. We also have platforms to help track mood and anxiety. Those apps like Headspace, I'm sure you heard of, Calm, they offer guided meditations that can help reduce stress and anxiety. Online therapy platforms like BetterHelp and Talkspace connect users with licensed therapists from the comfort of their own homes. What is your opinion on the effectiveness of mental health apps?
Well, exactly what you said. You pretty much covered it. There's so many apps out there. The ones that you named, you know, are some of the most common ones, like, you know, BetterHelp, Talkspace, Psychology Today. And then there's also things like affirmation apps. My Alexa tell me at between 1:30 and 2 o'clock every day, don't forget your daily affirmations, and she just give me, you know, little tips and things like that. And then stretching apps and like Better Me and things like that. So yeah, all of those apps fall into mental health, wellness and mindfulness. So they have a lot of mindfulness apps. All of those apps really work together to just help create a really good space, you know, when it comes down to mental health.
I couldn't agree more. I actually use a couple of those myself. I love Headspace. I've used Calm a couple of times. You know, so those apps really come into handy. Other platforms like Zing, that's actually a workout app, but in the end of your session, your cool down session, sometimes they have you do yoga, stretching, and meditation. So yeah.
Better Me is too. So I use Better Me, but I think, were you the one that turned me on to Calm? Like,
I probably did.
Yeah.
So. I'm always talking about an app to somebody, so I probably did. I love it. So, just on another question, while we're still on this subject, do you see any benefits or like challenges that, you know, therapy have going through digital platforms?
Challenges, I know for sure that therapy have going through digital platforms. Some of them, of course, you know, technology don't always work.
of course.
And I mean, that's with anything, you know, I mean, like, just like people are going to get sick or, you know, a vehicle is going to break down, a machine is going to break down, you know, same thing with, technology. I don't know, sometimes the apps don't work. Sometimes there may be misinformation in there. And that's another thing is misinformation. Some of these apps, anybody could put anything in. Mm-hmm. Anybody can call themselves a consultant, you know, a mental health consultant. They can't necessarily say, well, I'm a psychologist or I'm a, you know, a clinical counselor, but they can say I'm a consultant. You know, and people will listen to them because of that. It's so funny when you learn that Dr. Phil really isn't a doctor. So, yeah, that's also something scary. It's almost like a Wikipedia that anybody can kind of put anything out there through these apps. So I know that that's a downfall. Even some of the downfalls also could be people using them too much, like, and not just the apps, not just the mental health apps, but more so technology in general. You know, too much technology, just always either from screen to screen on your phone, on an iPad, you know, watching TV, and just literally going from one screen to the next, to the next, to the next. So, yeah.
I am very guilty of that, from screen to screen to screen to screen, with, especially with the line of work that I do. Everything involves me being in front of the screen. I'm either in front of my laptop, I'm either in front of my iPad or in front of my phone, or I have to be in front of somebody else's laptop, in front of somebody else's phone. So it's very hard and strainful. I'm pretty sure not even just mentally, I'm physically on your eyesight. That's another segment for another day. So because we know that this is not all positive, there are growing concerns about the impact of things like social media on mental health. There's even some studies that link excessive social media to increased feelings of like anxiety, depression, and loneliness. We all know social media platforms like Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. They've become like
X.
Really.
You gotta call it X now.
Oh, right, X. You're right. You're right. Jesus, showing my age, quote unquote. But they have become really integral part of our daily lives. Like, we are on one of these apps sometime a day, because of course they allow us to stay connected with family and friends. We share experience throughout the day. You know, we even find support communities. But like I said, there's a flip side to that. The constant exposure to curated images and the pressure to present like a perfect life can lead to feelings of like inadequacy or like low self-esteem. So like, what are, if you can, give both positive and negative effects of social media on mental health?
So some positive effects that I have seen, I mean, like, very commonly the ones that you said, you know, kind of like to be able to look at the different, I guess, social medias, and you see yourself in it, you know, you find a sense of belonging. Not only do you find a sense of belonging, like what's the new series? I think it's called like the Who Did I Marry stories. And now it's like
it just came out the blue.
And now it's like in Netflix. And it's another lady named like Shannon Balenciaga. She has a series out now. I'm gonna go watch that once we get done with this. Because her series sound good. It's like police officers and other people, and it just sounds really good.
Sounds like a lot.
Yeah, but it's almost like the Me Too movement. Do you remember the Me Too movement?
Yes.
Where, you know, everybody were coming out kind of like they were feeling comfortable to be able to say, hey, me too. Mm-hmm. You know, I was, you know, sexually assaulted as well. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's kind of like that where a lot of people feel heard and they feel like, okay, I could finally tell my story. And not only do you hear their story, because it's one thing to hear their story, but now on these social media apps, you see their story. Mm-hmm. So like the new thing with Diddy, you know, yeah. I don't know. Can we talk about that?
we could touch on it. I'm sure it's fine. Everybody else in the world has a platform to touch on it. Like, Jesus. And when you turn around, it's Diddy.
Right. So like even that new thing, you know, it was one thing to hear Cassie's story, to see what was put out there inside of her documents and everything. But it was another thing to see it.
Yeah.
And when we saw it, that's when it was just gut-wrenching. Like, oh my goodness. You know? And that's also when so many people attach themselves to it. Like, yo, I can, you know, relate to this. Shaka Khan's daughter, yeah. She said something about, you know, something that happened with her mom. And it's no telling how many years and how many decades these people have held on to this, because they might have felt like nobody would believe them. But it's really helping people feel seen and heard. And yeah, like they're not alone. Like their story isn't just going to be thrown to the side and they're going to be picked apart for even opening their mouths. So that's one of the many benefits, you know, of social media and mental health with social media. Also algorithm, you know, algorithm. So the things that you give energy to, the things that you pay attention to, continues to pop up on your timeline. So if you pay attention to the positive, if you're commenting on the positive, that's what will pop up on your timeline. You know, inspirational. There's so many inspirational people out there on these apps. Not just inspiration, you know, people that are working out, people that just maybe, like, I know there's a guy, I forgot his name, that I pay attention to on social media, on TikTok, and he is giving kind of inspirations, but he's literally just going throughout his day just smiling, being happy, and doing his job. And it's like, you know, like little things like that where this lady, I watch a family, and they're just getting ready, you know, her and her family. I might find it in a second so I can say the name. Because it's literally her and her three children. They're getting ready in the mornings, you know, or getting ready at night. And her children are so cute. And she's, you know, she's getting them ready. She's saying, like, little great affirmations
to
them.
And just,
she's being a mom. They're in their space. Mm-hmm. So it's not like she's putting on a show in order to showcase her kids. No, just getting ready in the morning. And there's so many people that log on and just pay attention because it's a beautiful thing to watch, you know? But also the negative side is there may be some people like, man, I wish that I had that. And it can have a negative effect on them, because not only does it show you beautiful things and things that you're like, yo, I can relate to, it also show you what you may be lacking. And that's okay. Where a lot of the negative come from in social media. So I don't know, I can be a daughter seeing a father treating his daughter a certain kind of way, which is beautiful, and then it makes me think about the lack of what I have. People like the Kardashians, you know, like you begin to compare yourself. Instagram models, like I know that, yeah. That was a big thing.
It's still a thing to, yeah, some people. I didn't even know that was something that existed.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know you could be an Instagram model.
Yeah, and people are comparing their bodies to them, and then false information. Some of these girls are out here giving workout tips, and showing themselves in the gym and working out and saying, hey, you can look like this too.
When in reality, they just had a surgery.
Right. So when in reality, they just went to go have a surgery. Or they're getting lipo and, you know, other things, and laser lipo. And so regular everyday people are kind of like, oh, I'm doing the same thing she's doing, but I'm not getting the same result because it's not real, you know, and it's a misdirection. And now you're feeling lesser than because of, I can't achieve what this person is achieving. So, yeah, it's the same thing, comparing yourself. Back in the day, we used to call it keeping up with the Joneses. Do you remember that saying?
Yes.
So,
oh man,
keeping up with the Joneses, it's the same thing just on a grander scale, because mm-hmm. you don't just see the Joneses and maybe the Smiths over here. Now you see the world, and it's grander. So yeah, that's something that we really have to even instill into ourselves and talk to our children about. You know, you don't have to keep up with the Joneses. Mm-hmm. You don't have to you can't compare yourself to anybody else's story. Your life is your own, and you know, so yeah.
I even think that people take it so far as even financially. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll see something that somebody has and, oh, I want that. And people will be out there spending money that they honestly do not have on just items that probably you don't even need, that you really don't even want. But it's just because you saw this person get probably, I don't know, 500 likes. Is that a lot of likes? I don't know. It's probably low nowadays.
Yeah, that's low.
Yeah, that's probably low nowadays. But, you know, and you want the same effect. And if you don't get that same effect, then you feel even more bad about yourself than what you probably already started feeling. So it's a very bad downfall. You know, I even feel like social media is too accessible to even children. I really feel like you should be 21 and over to use social media. I'm even thinking it gets to the point to where you need to have a doctor to sign off that you can use social media mm-hmm. to make sure you are mentally healthy enough to handle it, because you will send yourself on a downward spiral very quickly, just as you said, keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah, like, okay, now I don't think we need to go that far as to have doctors sign off on it.
I do. It's getting that bad. People are even committing suicide simply over what they see on a screen.
True. Now, cyberbullying is a big thing, you know, and that have become a big thing amongst, like, teenagers and children. The cyberbullying is getting out of hand. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, they're trying to get a control on it more, because they used to just say, you know, the no bully limit, or it's a term. But basically, we have no, I don't know if you all can get the words for me, you know, just leave it in the chat.
I'm going to say, I'm just here for educational purposes.
No tolerance.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
Yes. Uh-huh. So they have, like, no tolerance rules on bullying in school, you know, and that became a major thing because bullying in school was a major thing. And so people begin to bully online instead. And, you know, you begin to see the same effects of children, you know, I mean, you know, killing themselves and things like that. And all because they're being bullied online now, rather than in school. Like, oh, we can't do it in school. Well, we're going to do it online. So they find other ways. So, yeah, I hear what you're saying. But also, even in hearing what you're saying, it's like, yeah, I don't think we need doctors to sign off.
I'm sorry.
I do agree with the age limit. Like my son, he can't even use a lot of different platforms because of that. Mm-hmm. But do you remember that Facebook used to have an age limit? Like, that's how old I am.
Yeah, when Facebook first came out, it was only accessible to college students. Mm-hmm. And you had to have a college email mm-hmm. to, you know, be able to sign up for it. Mm-hmm. And by the time before I left eighth grade, I was able to access Facebook.
Yeah. See, and no,
that's how fast it grew.
Yeah, no, I was in the era where you use Facebook to connect to your college professors and to other people in
college. You go even further.
And to other people in college. Yeah. That's how I'm like, I remember that. Like, that's how you got in touch with your professors and stuff. And I couldn't be on it until I had my college email.
I don't know if I should stop you because your age is about to come out. Jeez.
I think it's already out there. It's already. I'm proud of my age. I'm okay with my age.
You go, girl.
So
you go, girl.
I'm comfortable with it.
You look amazing.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You do too.
Oh, thank you. So, changing the course or staying on course. Have you heard of I guess it's not necessarily a new term. It's a new term for me. Mm-hmm. Called techno-stress.
You know what? So, I have heard of techno-stress. Techno-stress, from what I know about it, is anxiety, tension, or distress caused when a person is overwhelmed by new technology. Mm-hmm. It occurs when they are unable to adapt and learn to use technology in a healthy, productive way. So it's really similar, kind of like what we were just speaking of. Mm-hmm. You know, if you use it, the algorithm, you know, in a negative way, if you only comment on negative things, mm-hmm. then you will see the negative. If you give energy to the positive, you will see the positive. Mm-hmm. So, that's techno stress. You have to be able to use it in a healthy, productive way. So, they may have negative, when it comes down to techno stress, so they may have, like, negative feelings associated with new technology, such as anxiety, depression, confusion, and burnout. And we see this a lot, like, in our elders, as they try to adapt to this new world. And, like, speaking to a former alderman in Harvey, Illinois, mm-hmm. that now work with assisting the elders, that's one of the many issues that have come up. And there's, like, a lot of platforms that talk about this as well, because it's not just in Harvey, Illinois. It's everywhere where these, elderly people, like, they are susceptible to scam because they aren't sure about the technology behind things. So they just go along with whatever someone else is telling them. They might see an fluctuation in their bills, such as their gas bill, their light bills, and things like that. Mm-hmm. People are scamming them by having them to send them money and pretending like they're the government, you know? And because they don't really know anything about this new technology, they'll just go ahead and believe it, you know, and believe what anybody is telling them. And, you know, we see it in other ways, too. We see it in the workplace. We see it in a lot of different ways, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I think you asked, what are some of the strategies for coping with techno stress, right?
Yes.
So, some of the coping strategies could be, like, accepting that it is normal to experience stress from technology. Okay. So, you know, anything with mental health, that's the first step is acceptance. So, it could be grief. It can be, I don't know, saying that you're a narcissist. Just accept it first. So accepting that, it's normal for this to happen to you. And once you accept that it's normal, then you can recognize it when it is happening. So, and then also, like, learning about proper ergonomics. So how technology may impact your workers. If you're a manager or something like that, mm-hmm. or, you know, a business owner, how it may affect your workers mentally, emotionally, and then also teach them how to use it effectively. Like, don't overwork your workers. Just like mm-hmm. you can't overwork a machine, you can't overwork your workers when they're using a machine, you know, or when they're using technology, because they begin to get burnt out. You know, they just don't want to do something or whatever. Yeah, they just don't want to do it. Like, you find that a lot when workers are just like, you know what, I just forget it. I don't want to do it.
Absolutely.
Unplugging completely.
Absolutely.
That's a good one. Like, I know that you have a phone cutoff time.
Yep.
I had to learn that the hard way with you, that you have a phone cutoff time.
After a set of time, you cannot reach me, and you will not reach me.
you don't get notifications, you know, no. Or anything, any notifications from new technology or anything.
My own mother can't contact me after a certain time.
Yeah. And at first I didn't understand that. But now, you know, that I work with technology more, I fully understand it, that you need that mental and emotional rest.
Mm-hmm.
Also socializing in person. So, you know, that's a good one too. You know, have these meetings in person rather than always having a Zoom meeting.
Exactly.
Or, you know, oh, we have to do a project. Let's do it on Zoom. It's like you all are in the same office. Go into a room and get it done. You know? Or send an email. Like, I love the sayings of, this could have been an email. You know? You're saying that a lot, like, especially during COVID. Like,
yep.
People like, this could have been an email. Like,
we did not have to sit here and get on Zoom, put our cameras on. But I think what they were trying to do is just to keep the human interaction alive as much as possible. But I think we've just gotten so used to just not having it that we just don't want it.
Right.
We don't want it anymore. Like, even me, myself, I've even took time off of social media for a very long time. I was just like, if you want to know what's going on in my life and you have my phone number, then that means you can pick up the phone or you can call me and you can find out. If you want to see some pictures, I can send you pictures. I don't have to have a social media platform for you to keep up with me. Because back in the day, that's not what we had. Back in the day, we didn't even have, we had phone books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's... And I'm not saying that I don't enjoy social media. I do enjoy it. I use it for my everyday line of work. It's a part of me.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I did also learn very quickly that, if anything was to ever happen with social media, if Facebook and Twitter, formerly is now X, X formerly known as Twitter, if those platforms ever go down, like, it's like, I would survive. I would not die.
Mm-hmm.
I will be totally okay with not scrolling through my phone and seeing, as bad as it sounds, your face.
Yeah, I fully understand that. Sometimes I just get off of social media. Like, I can't, you know, I have so many other things going on. It's like, you know what, that's going to be something extra that's taking up space in my mind. And I'd rather not.
Yep.
So, like, setting limits, taking short breaks. That's another thing that you could combat having techno stress with. There's like this interview with Akon, and he's talking about Eminem work ethic. When they were like recording the song Smack That, like the Smack That up on the floor,
hey,
Smack That,
that's my song.
Smack That. Okay, so yeah, that song. He was talking about Eminem's work ethic when they were recording it, because, you know, he had M flown out. And so he had M flown out, and M came early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Akon, of course, used to working with other artists and things like that. Akon decided, he's like, oh, well, I can just, you know, turn around and come around 6 o'clock at night, and, you know, we're gonna be in the studio, we're gonna have evening sessions, and man, you know, this is gonna be lit.
He think he finna kick it, girl.
And when he got there, Eminem was gone, and he was confused, kind of like, yo, where you go? You know, like, how you just up and leave? And Eminem was like, it's after 5. Because he's like, well, when you gonna come back to the studio? He said, oh, I'll be there tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. And Akon was confused. Like, what do you mean I'll be there at 9? You know, like, hey, I'm used to doing this thing all night. And Eminem is like, I'll be there at 9 a.m. in the morning. So he got there at 9 a.m. in the morning. They did what they had to do. When lunchtime came, like, you know, around 12, Eminem took his break. He took 1 hour break for lunch. He came back at 1, and then he continued working until 5 p.m., and he went home.
I love it.
And it's like, having those breaks is important. Like, you know, like, Akon was kind of, like, questioning, and he's like, yo, this is life. I understand that this is work, but I have to have those breaks inputted. I have to take that time to myself, because once I'm long and gone, or if I'm burnt out, who is going to be there to help me? Which makes a lot of sense, you know? And oftentimes we're so wrapped up in our passion and the things that we love to do that we don't realize that we can burn ourselves out quick. So I loved hearing that from a professional, that we're like, oh, he's one of the, you know, he's one of the best in his industry. No, he takes breaks too, and it's okay to have that time. It's okay to take those breaks to yourself. So, yeah.
Even God rested on the Sabbath.
Right, even God rested on the Sabbath. When is the Sabbath?
Sunday, right?
Oh, man. Some people think it's Saturday. It's up for debate. You know, we ain't figured it out yet. All this technology, and we still have not figured that one thing out.
Well, we're going to get there. We on the
eventually,
road, right?
Eventually.
We got AI. Let's ask some AI.
Right.
See what AI says.
ChatGPT.
Exactly.
Activate.
I love this. I love this. So, furthermore, like, with the rapid pace of technological change that can leave individuals feeling like very overwhelmed and struggling to keep up, we do become increasingly more reliant on digital devices for everyday tasks. So it is essential to recognize the signs of techno stress and take proactive steps so this might impact on our mental well-being. So for everybody out there that's probably never heard of techno stress, and probably don't even know the signs to even look out for, what are some signs that people can look out for to see if they're under techno stress?
So some of the signs that you can look out for is increased fatigue. So, you know, it doesn't matter how much sleep you get, you're just tired. Mm-hmm. You go to work tired, you leave work tired, you wake up tired, you know? It's almost like The Sims. First of all, I love playing The Sims games.
Yes.
Because it tells you a lot about people. Mm-hmm. And you can tell, oh, they had somebody, psychologist or counselor in here, helping them put together this game. Because it's very well put together when it comes down to people's tolerances.
Yes.
And moods. And, you know, if you have an irritable sim, that sim is going to become irritable if they're working too much. If you have a sim that loves the sunlight and to party, if they're working too much, if they're artsy, they're going to be like, okay, look, I'm done, I'm tired.
Exactly.
And I need a break. I need to go on a vacation. So, yeah, it's just like, I was thinking, because one of my sims get overworked and have Finzy fits because he have to go on vacation.
I love it.
But yeah, so that increased fatigue, irritability, what I was just talking about, difficulty sleeping. And a lot of people don't see that as a techno stress or even a stress in general. They're just like, oh, I can't sleep because I'm restless. You know, and sometimes that is what it is. You know, you didn't really do a lot throughout the day, but yet you drank 2 Starbucks coffees. Of course you're going to be restless.
Yeah.
You know, but sometimes if you know that your day was productive, you know, you've been out here working, you've been out here doing what you're supposed to do, you can have difficulty sleeping. Although your body, your physical body is tired, your mind isn't at rest because it's overly stimulated, you know, and it's overly stimulated from technology. So if you can't sleep, the worst thing that you can do is getting on your phone. Yes. And looking at TikTok videos or whatever, you know, fits you at that time of night. The worst thing you can do is pick up your phone and do that.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, read a book. listen to music or to a sermon or to rain noise, you know, and try to get your mind to rest, because clearly, or just sit there in silence, I don't know, you know, but try to get your mind back to rest. Feelings of being ineffective at work.
Oh, I'm sure we've all felt that at least once or twice, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 times.
Right. Yeah, like, you're basically working and you're like, I'm not really doing anything substantial. I really didn't get anything done, you know? Like, your boss would be like, hey, I need you to do X, Y, Z. And as a worker, you're like, I don't feel like it.
I don't feel like it.
Like, we all need to be like Veronica in those moments. You know, the videos,
the TikTok videos with Veronica, how she's just like, no.
Yeah.
Just very calmly, not disrespectful, like, just stern, like, no, I put this date in months ago.
Right.
And I said I needed this day off, so I am taking this day off. Mm-hmm. Oh, Veronica, we'll see you tomorrow. No, you will not.
No, you will,
like,
not.
Just, I've grown to love
her. Per our email.
I'm like, where was she when I was working in corporate? Like, I needed this inspiration.
Right. That part. Oh, look, Veronica make us feel all accepted on Facebook or social media, TikTok.
Yes.
She's the inner us that have been crying out this whole time. So
shout out to Veronica. Right. Somebody get this podcast over to her.
Right.
You're inspiring people here.
Exactly. And another thing can be tension in the body, which can lead to headaches and back pain. So, you know, we've heard about having headaches from looking at a screen all day. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we think, oh, it's because of our eyes. And it's like, yeah, that can have something to do with it as well. But also, it's because you have techno stress. You know, you sitting here looking at it's causing stress. Mm-hmm. And it's causing your head to hurt or your back to hurt, you know, your shoulders and other things. So, yeah, those are different symptoms to look for.
Okay.
For techno stress.
I definitely took some notes because me just being in the tech field, it's great to know what to look out for.
Mm-hmm. Put in those mental wellness days, people, because, yeah, mental health, it's out there. They are using it, and now almost every job have mental wellness days. Put those in and use them.
I love that. I love that. To bring everything kind of in the full circle, can you give me a personal experience that you may have had, you know, dealing with mental health and technology?
So just really thinking about everything, even some of the things that I talked about already today, I was one of those people that would compare my life, and this was a long time ago, you know, telling my age again, but I was one of those people that would turn around and kind of compare my life to others and, you know, oh my goodness, I'm not doing as much and, man, my years are getting behind me, you know. So, yeah, I experienced that. Or, you know, looking at Instagram models, like, there's different Instagram models and things that I would look up to, because TikTok wasn't out then, or it wasn't as popular. So Maz was on Instagram, you know, and it's like, oh my goodness, I want my body to be like hers. I want, you know, to look like this Instagram model or that Instagram model, until I realized, you know, some of them are having surgeries, you know. So you're working out trying to get this image, or trying to figure out, well, why does this person have this and why am I not like that? So that was one of my struggles, you know. It's a young lady that kind of like changed the game a few years ago, named Kayla Nicole. She's a younger girl, you know, and she's the one with like the ponytail that sticks up. And it was a video where she went to go see a young man, and he was looking at her, and he was looking at her picture on Instagram. They're looking at her.
Oh.
Yeah, they're looking at her picture, and she'll smile, like, every time he look at her.
Yeah.
And the message, she's a model. She's gorgeous.
She is.
First of all, Kayla Nicole is gorgeous.
She is.
But the message that she was sending is, I don't look like this every day, all day. You know, what you see on Instagram or social media is what you see on Instagram or social media. I can't look like this 24/7. I'm a mom. I believe she's a mom of two now.
Yes.
You know, I'm a mom. You know, at one point in time, I know she was married. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those of, I love the message that she sent because people weren't expecting that kind of message.
Absolutely.
You know, back then it was all about the models and, you know, this is how. Unrealistic expectations that people gathered from social media was kind of dangerous. Like I said, you know, people would compare themselves a lot. And so young men would think that, oh, this is how their woman is supposed to look 24/7. Or, you know, and they expect the females to look like that 24/7. And if they didn't, then of course, you know, you do the bashing and the talking about and vice versa. Women thought they man should be a certain way 24/7. And it's like, that's not reality. And I love that Kayla put that out there, that that's not reality. This is reality, you know. I do look like that a nice amount of times, but I also look like this sometimes too. And that's okay, because I'm still the same person either way. It's just at this moment, I'm not on Instagram and taking pictures, and you know, I'm not a model right now. I'm me, my everyday self. And you have to understand that I'm a human being. So, yeah, I'm not your image model. I'm a human being. So I love the message that she sent, and it brought back, it was like the start of that body positivity thing, or you know, just positivity in general about yourself. Look, self-positivity, it was the epitome of what brought that back. So I really appreciate her for that. I'm pretty sure that's not what she was, you know, coming up with that, or maybe it was, but that's what she did. With, you know, her just being her funny old self, because she's hilarious. Yeah, so I also have like a sorority sister. Like, I'm a part of a sorority, Zeta Phi Beta Incorporated.
Woo-hoo.
Sorority Incorporated, let me say it correctly.
Never respect.
Yeah, you know, the royal blue and white, finer women. But my sorority sister, she turns around, she does so much. I mean, so much. Just like you kind of say I do, but you know, she's an inspiration. I look up to her. But she turns around and she sets her limits, and I love it when she does it, because she will turn around and be like, nope, I'm burnt out. Nope, I'm done. Nope, I'm okay. You know, because everybody goes to her for everything. When it comes down to technology, making sure that our money is together, making sure that, you know, a lot of stuff is together. And she will tell us in a second, because between her job, and then she also does taxes, and then she also does a lot of stuff with Zeta, and she turns around and she literally be like, no, I'm burnt out, I'm done, and I cannot. And it's like, okay. And it's so funny, because when she gets to that point, I find myself jumping in for her if I can, and be like, oh no, she says she's done. You know, how can I help? How can I assist you? And I can bring it to her later. If it's something that I can solve right now, I will. If it's not, then. And once again, respect for a person that can place those important boundaries. So, especially when it comes down to technology and dealing with it. And because you can get burnt out. You can get just, like I say, overworked, overstressed really quick. Techno stress is a real thing. So... oh yeah, you're doing the same thing, and I love it. And yeah, thank you so much for this platform and this opportunity.
Oh, no thanks needed for me. This work, girl, this work. All right, everybody, as we've heard today, technology has a profound impact on our mental health, both positive and negative. So it is important to leverage the benefits while being aware of the potential pitfalls. If you are struggling with your mental health, don't hesitate to seek help. There are numerous resources available, both online and offline. Thank you so much for joining us on Geek Speak. Until next time, take care of your mind and your tech.